Grace and peace to you from God our Father, and from our risen and ascended Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the gospel story for today. I'm not going to read the whole story again. It's a great story, and there's lots of stuff in there. I just want to zero in on the water business that was going on here. And I want to focus on these two verses from John chapter 4. Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Well, this woman, she lived 2,000 some years ago. We don't know her name. She was descended from a race of people that had intermarried with the foreigners who had invaded their country. She was one of those who believed that God's holy mountain was called Mount Gerizim, where she lived in Samaria, and she worshipped in a temple that they had built there rather than the temple on Mount Zion in Jerusalem. She was a member of a nation that plotted with the enemies of the Jews, the people of Judah. And she was hated then by her southern cousins. She lived in a region of the world that most of us have never been to, never visited, never heard of, the town of Sychar, and she was a Samaritan. The gospel tells us a little bit about the kind of woman that she was. And it's a most unusual story. First, she goes to a well to draw water at a strange time of the day. John tells us that it was about midday that she went to draw some water from the well, tired and thirsty from the heat of the day. Jesus went to the well too. They meet at the same time. He's thirsty from his long trip from Galilee down south on his way to Jerusalem because, well, he knew where he was going, and we know too. He was heading towards Jerusalem and the events of Holy Week. Nobody goes to a well at high noon. It's the hottest time of the day. The women of the town always went around sundown, the end of the day, when it was cooler. They would meet at the well and share stories of what happened during the day. The town gossip would take place there. Gossiping would take place there. But not this woman. She comes at high noon. She went that time of the day because she was thirsty, of course. But there was another reason as well. She wanted to be alone. She wanted to be by herself because she had heard the whispering and the talk about her life from the other women who came to the well. She noticed their looks, their sniggering. It hurt her deeply. And so she came the middle of the day. She wanted to be alone. And why did she want to be alone? We find out later in the reading in this text that she had been married 5 times. And now she was living with a 6th man. Living with a partner without marriage may be commonplace today, but not in a society in which Jesus lived. She was a sinner. Now, the word sin means to miss the mark, to aim for the bullseye and go way off course. To fall short of the standard. She had fallen short of her own personal standard. She had fallen short of the standards of the culture in which she lived. She had fallen short of the religious standard, of God's standard. And she knew it. She knew it. It's no wonder that tongues started wagging when she came to the well. It's no wonder that she came alone. She was feeling ashamed, feeling bad about her life, cut off. She wanted to be alone. Can you relate to that? I can. whatever our sin, just a few of them here, lying, outbursts of anger, jealousy, a critical judgment of others, gossiping, overeating, uncooperating with others, living, giving into temptation too easily, or whatever it is on your list. And it weighs pretty heavy on us. And we feel ashamed and we want to be alone. Doesn't that sound like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden after they had disobeyed God? God's instruction not to eat of the tree in the middle of the garden. And as soon as they had eaten, they were ashamed and they went and tried to hide from God. And they felt separated from God. And they didn't want to hear his judgment. They wanted to be alone. It's no different with us. When we fall into sin and fall short of God's standard, when we sin, we fail ourselves, we feel ashamed. And just as God went out of his way to find Adam and Eve in that garden, calling out, "Where are you?" Jesus had to go out of his way to meet the woman at the well. The gospel writer says that things were going this way. Now, Jesus had gone through Samaria. To understand what's being said here, you need to know a little bit of geography. The Jews lived south of Samaria in Judea, the bottom third, you might say, of the Holy Land. When traveling by foot from the north, from Galilee to Judea, Jews typically avoided traveling in Samaria. The shortest route was usually the best, but they decided that they would avoid that short route because they would want to avoid the Samaritan people. No respectable Jew would take that shortest route through Samaria. Because of their long hatred for Samaritans, they would always take that long trip and skirt around the Samarian border. It would be like us taking a trip to Ohio, but because we couldn't stand Hoosiers, we went through Kentucky and down south and came up the other way. Sounds kind of stupid, doesn't it? But that's what they did. Do you see that this is a story that is unusual and not quite normal? You see what's going on here? A Jew goes into Samaria. John says that Jesus, a Jew, a rabbi, had to go through Samaria. He decided to go against social norms, a devout religious tradition of the day, and to purposely make contact with sinners. So he leaves Judea, takes the short route through the city of Sychar with his disciples. Why? Because there is this sinful, shameful, separated woman that he's got to find. Because there's a whole nation of sinful, separated, despised people across the Samaritan border. And Jesus goes out of his way to find sinful, shameful, separated people. He goes out of his way to find you and me. At the well that we are faced with, we face abnormal and unusual circumstances. No self-respecting Jewish man would be seen talking to a woman, let alone a Samaritan woman, with very questionable morals. And no Jew would drink from a vessel that is unclean, especially one that had been touched, used by a Samaritan. But that doesn't bother Jesus. In fact, he is teaching his disciples a very valuable lesson here that you and I can learn this morning. That God loves Samaritans too. That Jesus died and rose for everybody, for all people. That God wants all people to be a part of his kingdom. That God loves all people, regardless of race, gender, background, morality, or whatever. And Jesus is teaching his disciples that even disciples can be saved. And for this to happen, they have to make contact. I imagine that the disciples were pretty much disturbed by the actions of Jesus, maybe even confused by what he was doing. We just don't do this kind of thing. But Jesus wants them to see the big picture. Jesus has come to save the Samaritan, and if Samaritans can be saved, so can Romans and Greeks, the tax collector, the prostitute, those we don't normally associate with because of their questionable morals or the way of life or whatever. That might mean breaking out of our comfort zone. It might mean breaking up some prejudice that you and I might have. It might mean going where they are and meeting them on their own terms, on their own turf. Whatever it takes, we are called to make contact and to share with them the love of Jesus, our Savior. Here we have Jesus at the well with the woman the disciples wouldn't have been seen dead with. It's not that Jesus doesn't know about her. He can see into her heart. He knows her past. He knows what's been going on. And he could see her aching for kindness, for understanding, for acceptance, for forgiveness, for the assurance that God's love was for her. And it was not in any way lessened because of her lifestyle. And she tried to hide all of this from him, but he knows. All of this makes this story all the more unusual. As a Jew, Jesus should have avoided her, even called down God's judgment on her. Instead, he accepts her. He accepts her not because she's good or has a lifestyle that matches up with his and the disciples, but because she is not good and her life is a mess. Jesus accepts sinful, shameful, separated people. He says to this woman, and he says to you and me, I want to give you a gift. I want to give you life. I want to give you myself. Jesus says, those who drink this water will get thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give them will never get thirsty again. The water I give them will become in them a spring, which will provide for them life-giving water and give them eternal life. I don't know what you were thinking about when you heard those words just now. I was thinking about going shopping the other day and finding people with grocery carts loaded with bottles of water. And I was thinking about baptism and the water and the word that made me God's child. Now, I haven't spoken to you in a while, but I want to tell you this. If you didn't do what I gave you as an assignment the last time I stood here and preached God's word to you, hey, this is a good time to do it. Do you know your baptismal date? Because that's when God gave you that water of life and made you his own. So while you've got nothing to do during these days of confinement, find your baptismal certificate. Find the date and mark that the way you mark your birthday, your anniversary, your graduation date, or whatever it is you mark on your calendars, because it's a very important date. Because that's when you received the gift that God has for you, the gift of Jesus Christ. It's only when God gets personal with us that we realize that we have a need. We'd like to sweep our weaknesses under the table and forget about them. But to do that means God's judgment. But God zeroes in on us, on water and word, and he touches our very vulnerable spots, our anger, our jealousy, our incredible need to be center stage, our unkind criticism, our neglect of God and worship, or whatever. Jesus brings it all out into the open. He makes us realize how much we need His forgiveness. And He wants to make us well. And He does. He forgives our sin. He gives us a fresh start and a new beginning. Not just one day, but every single day. A restored relationship with the Father who gave His Son on that cross of Calvary. A place in heaven to be with God forever. The gift of the Holy Spirit to enable us to make changes in our lives and to start living as God's saving people. We, like that Samaritan woman, have all kinds of secrets hidden away that we're ashamed of. And yet Jesus still loves us, still wants us to be His disciples, still wants to forgive and give us a new start. And when we get to Good Friday in a few weeks, we will recall again and celebrate the length that God went to give us all of this. He loved the world so much that He gave us His only Son. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus to life eternal. Amen.